quick start.
Yeah. Well, good morning. What a beautiful August morning. It's good to be with you. By the grace of Father Mike, I've had some time off this summer and didn't get to spend it with you much, especially during the course of July. But it was a wonderful month that I spent a lot of time with family and very blessed by it. It's nice to see that the Amen section is still holding together. But I come to you in some somberness this morning. Dear Colts fans, the sun will come out tomorrow. You know, I wish I were 29 years old and retiring. That's all I gotta say. But that's not the case, far from it. God bless Andrew Luck and God bless the Indianapolis Colts. Back to the work at hand. Being Christians of the 21st century, we know more about Jesus than those Christians of the first century. And I can prove it. Just visit any library, any bookstore, and start searching for Jesus. You'll find loads of books, shelves of books about Jesus in those locations. The first century Christians didn't have a book. The first gospel wasn't written until 40 years after Jesus rose from the dead. And when it was written hundreds of miles away in Rome, not even near where the first Christians lived and walked. There was no New Testament. There was no Bible as we know it. I'm certain the majority of you have a Bible or two, or maybe even three, in your homes. And some of you may have volumes of books about Jesus. We may know a lot about Jesus, but do we know Jesus? Knowing about Jesus is good. Knowing Jesus is better. Much better. I recently saw a sign outside of a tire store in Columbus, and it states, "No God, no good. No God, no good." That's K-N-O-W, God, and good, and N-O, God, and good. No God, no good, no God, no good. And I refer to that sign because it's easy for me to remember. I like acronyms, K-G-K-G, N-G-N-G. That's a whole lot simpler and easier for me. It sticks. And that sign, it begged the question from me, how well do I know Jesus? And so the way I think and the way my lovely wife appreciates the way I think, I answer a question with a question. So I did that with myself. And this question came back. Well, how well does Jesus know me? And then the answer came. It's in the amount of time I spend with him. KGKG. NGNG. As we listened to today's gospel reading, we heard Jesus mention a narrow gate. I even hesitated a little bit, and I hope you picked up on that, because I've been pondering that gate, and I see that gate having three sections. One of those sections is time. Making time to know Jesus. Not knowing about Jesus and reading books about Jesus, that's all well and good, but knowing Jesus, being in an intimate, personal relationship with him. That word intimate, the word intimacy, may just be a little bit uncomfortable. And I can appreciate that. I felt that. And that's okay. Because discomfort can lead to transformation. Fortunately, my understanding of intimacy was transformed during a presentation at one of our past men's resolution retreats. The presenter defined intimacy as into me see. Is Jesus into me? Am I into Jesus? Think back to the Gospel of John. Does Jesus dwell in me, reside in me, remain in me? Do I reside in Jesus, dwell in him, remain in him? And I like the way St. Paul puts it even better. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. That is true intimacy. You know, Paul was saying, into me see Jesus. Now, developing that kind of intimacy, that intimate relationship, it needs time. And we're only given so much time on this earth, time being that first gate. It's the one thing we cannot make more of. And Lord knows I've prayed for 8 days, 9 days, 10 days in a week, and I think Father's got the answer. And if you could share it with us, I'd love to hear it. I don't know how he gets all done that he gets done, but we can't make any more of it. It's a precious gift. With each second that passed, it's gone forever. That word I just said, that second I just said, is gone. Time. It's a gift given to us for a primary purpose, to get to know God as best as we can. With each tick of the clock, that gate draws narrower and narrower. And do you know how narrow the opening to your gate is? None of us do. Tick, tock, tick, tock. KG, KG, NG, NG. I just wasted 5 seconds. Go on. What are you going to do with the next 5 seconds? You may already know what the next section of the gate is. Now, but I'll give you a hint anyway. We heard it during the gospel acclamation. I am the way and the truth and the life. But there's another part to that verse. Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except through me. And if you know me, then you will know my Father. You can't get there without Jesus, and you can't know the Father without knowing Jesus. So who is the way and the truth and the life? You aren't going to get there with that kind of response. Who is the way and the truth and the life? Jesus is. So how do you get to know the Father? Jesus. Boy, I tell you what, St. Peter is going to be disappointed. Come on. How do you get to know the Father? Jesus. And how do you get to know salvation?
Jesus.
And who is the narrow gate?
Jesus.
Who is the way?
Jesus.
KG, KG, NG, NG. The third section. You're looking at it. It's you and me. The narrower we make the gate for others, the narrower the gate is for us. We heard Jesus proclaim in the gospel, people will come from the east and the west and the north and the south. He was referring to Gentiles and pagans, and how outlandish that sounded to the Jews. The chosen people, the first. The chosen people of Israel. And he announced to them that some of the last, those Jews, those Gentiles and pagans, they will know him and they will accept him. And they'll accept God's love for them and they'll be the first to know and belong to God's kingdom. How dare he deny us our right? His listeners were narrow-minded. And they're understanding the wideness of God's mercy. They understood the kingdom to be open only to the chosen people of Israel, the first people invited into a covenant of love with the Almighty. And thinking they were the first, they thought they were the only people, the few, to be saved. They just wanted to hear Jesus say it, and he didn't. And I started getting a little judgmental of those people. Here I said that, those people. And I realized I face the same dilemma. How wide is my acceptance of others? Do I get uncomfortable to bring comfort to others? Doing so could transform me and the other. Do I put myself last and place Jesus first in my life by inviting and welcoming and serving others? others who are oppressed, abused, addicted, marginalized, exiled, outcast, displaced, forgotten, minimalized. Do others know Jesus, know God through me? Cagey, cagey, engy, engy. Those are the three sections, but there's still one crucial component that makes the gate work. I'll give you a hint. You need to participate again, but I'll give you a hint. It's a four-letter word that God is. Do you know it? Then say it with me. God is love. What is God?
Love.
And you are made from God? Yes. So what are you?
Love.
Then be love. Beloved. Love is the key that opens the gate and it keeps it open, no matter how narrow that gate is. Love is why the gate exists in the first place. If love didn't exist, if God didn't exist, then there would be no gate, narrow, wide, medium, or otherwise. But to hold the key, I must know. There you go. And in knowing love, I know God. And in knowing God, I know love. And how do I get to know that? I must know Jesus. And Jesus must know me intimately. He into me and I into him. Cagey, cagey, engy, engy. And all this is why I must strive to love, to be love, and to be loved. Not primarily for my sake, but for the sake of others. The last, the next, to know Jesus, to know God, to know love, to get uncomfortable so the uncomfortable can get comfortable. Love is how Jesus knows and will know me. Love is what will save me from hearing those words, "I don't know you, depart from me." Engy, engy. Father Mike recently shared with us that the phrase, "do not be afraid," appears in the Bible 365 times. Coincidence? Yep. Because what is coincidence? God working anonymously. That's one phrase for each day of the year. What is the opposite of fear? Love. So, do not be afraid. Be love. If we are love, we have no reason to fear entering the narrow gate. We will have no fear for standing before the gates of heaven. Maybe instead of worrying about being afraid, we should concentrate on being love. Rather than hear, "do not be afraid," hear, "be love." For when we are love, we will know love, and love will know us. And we'll stand before those pearly gates, if you will, beaming with light and basking in the light of love. Can you just imagine it? And you'll stand there. I'll stand there. We'll stand there, and we'll hear, "Welcome into me. See where you are forever." And we will, cagey, cagey, forever. And the church says,